Our scripture lesson today comes from Hebrews 11, verse 29 to chapter 12, verse 2. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me repeat just the last verse. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is God's word to us today. Thanks be to God. Friends, does this ever happen to you? You feel overwhelmed by life. Problems keep popping up faster than you can whack them. It's like you're at the carnival, playing that whack-a-mole game with the bam, 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 but they just keep popping up. Where you feel like Bill Murray in the movie Groundhog Day, when the same day keeps repeating itself. Where you feel like you're on a hamster wheel, trying your best. You're running, 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 faster and harder. You're giving it your best, but you're never keeping up. You're never measuring up, and you're never getting anywhere. You just want to quit and give up. Well, friends, I have some really good news for you today. Our preacher in Hebrews deals directly with this problem in life. The way we'll unpack this news goes like this. What's our race? What's our race look like? How not to run the race? Then how to run the race? And finally, how to remember how to run it. So what's the race? How not to run it? How to run it? And how to remember how to run it? So first, what's our race look like? Well, we need two words and two terms. First, we have to learn a couple of Greek words. The first Greek word is the word for race. It's agon. Agon. Say agon. Agon. You'll remember this word because it's the base of the word agony. Agony. The second Greek word is to run. It's trecho. Say trecho with me. Trecho. Trecho means to run like an athlete, to run swiftly. So all of us have a unique race, our agony. All of us suffer. All of us are disappointed. All of us are broken in life in various ways. We all have our encumbrances, our weights, our addictions, our habits, our weaknesses, our difficulties, and blind spots. We all have them. Some, like myself, might have more than others, but we all have them. Anyway, none of us know what race, what agony, is marked out for us. Some have short agonies, some have long agonies, some have meandering agonies, with ups and downs and hills and valleys, but we all have our agony. If you're listening to me right now, you have your own unique agony, your own unique race to trecho. So those are the two words. Now for the two terms to help us understand our agony, our race to Trecco. The first is ultramarathon. Any ultramarathoners in the group? How about marathoners? Let me explain. In the running world, there are short distance races. Those are from like 100 meters to 5 kilometers, or 3.1 miles. Those are actually almost sprints. Then we have the races over 3.1 miles. They're considered long distance races. They're endurance races. And in the endurance races, there's the marathon. The marathon is 26.2 miles. Anything beyond 26.2 miles is called an ultramarathon. And people actually run ultramarathons of 50 miles and 100 miles. But recently I learned about some very famous ultramarathons. The first is the Marathon des Sables. It's a 6-day, 154-mile trek through the Sahara in southern Morocco. You have to carry all your food and supplies for the week, but they do supply a ration of water and goatskin tents to sleep in. The sand is so fine that it absorbs the foot's momentum, turning big sections of the course into a literal slog. You ever try running on the sand and at the beach? It used to be run in April when temperatures were over 100 degrees, but this year it's October 1st to 11th, so the temperatures will be cooler, like the 70s or 80s, in case you want to sign up. So even though the course is well trodden, over 1,000 competitors run every year, there's still a real danger in the desert. 3 runners have died on the route. In the United States, there's a famous ultramarathon called the Grand to Grand Ultra. It takes runners over coral-colored sand dunes, through slot canyons, and past alien hoodoos on a 147-mile, 7-day self-supported race. It's in the deserts of Utah and into the Grand Canyon, which climbs 19,000 feet along the way. This one was scheduled for the end of September, but it's been canceled this year. Or there's the Peruvian Jungle Ultra, which is mostly downhill, dropping 10,500 feet from the cloud forest down to the Amazon over its 142.6 mile course. But underestimate it, and you're in a world of hurt. The 5-stage self-supported race winds its way through utterly remote terrain where temperatures hover over 90 degrees. The humidity's brutal, and hordes of biting bugs are just waiting to make you their lunch. Along the way, you have to cross 70 tropical rivers and streams. In some cases, you have to zip line over. Yeah, there are some brutal ultramarathons laid out in the world. But here's the thing. You probably know where I'm going with this. You and I are not on a short-distance Trecco through life. It's not a sprint. We are intimately, personally involved in our own version of an ultramarathon, complete with agonizing mental, physical, emotional, relational, spiritual torments and agonies. Our bodies break down. Our relationships are strained. We lose friends and family along the way. Our emotions reach a breaking point. And the race, I mean the agony, continues. So we need help in our own personal ultramarathon called life. And the most powerful help we can get is to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Turn our eyes upon Jesus. Turn our eyes upon Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross for you and for me. Yeah, God himself endured the agony of the Trecco and went to the cross. The second term to help us define our race or our agony is it's a relay race. In other words, we're on a team passing the baton of faith. And when we're on a team, we celebrate and encourage others along the way. We're not trying to crush one another. We're not competing against one another. We're not trying to outdo one another. No, no, no. We're yelling from the sidelines. We're screaming their names. We're coming alongside. We're running with one another. We want everyone to succeed. The better our teammates Trecco, the better we do. We're all standing by the Jumbotron watching the others race, slog, Trecco through life's agonies. So friends, we're in this ultramarathon relay race together. And the only way through this agony is turning our eyes upon Jesus, who for the joy of giving you eternal life, endured the cross. So let's look at how not to run, and then how to run this agony. First, how not to run. In May of 2012, my wife Lisa and I had a marvelous opportunity to see the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela. It's in Spain, where tradition has it that the remains of St. James the Great are buried. Well, the cathedral is monstrous, and the tour groups equally so. There were literally thousands of people in this cathedral. It was an ocean of humanity. So the tour guides all had those lollipop signs and held them up high so you could follow along. We also had those headsets so you could hear our tour guide. Well, just as we were passing this large door that had significant meaning to the pilgrims, I was taking an extra picture or two. When I looked up, the lollipop was gone, and the voice of the tour guide started to crackle and then faded to nothing. I was lost. I was in a throng of people and had no idea which way they went. So in a bit of a panic, I tried to find my way to something familiar, hoping to meet up again with them soon. I know it's a silly example, but it makes the point. We take our eyes off the lollipop, off the prize of the Lord Jesus Christ. We become lost in a swirl of activity. We lose focus in life, lose track of our main priorities, lose our joy in the journey, and get gobbled up by meaningless activities. And if you feel like you're on the hamster wheel or are whacking moles, you may have taken your eyes off of Jesus Christ. I never did get close to the relics of St. James. I only saw what I missed by Googling it. So that's how not to run. How do we run? We can only run our race, treco our agony, with perseverance and endurance as we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. Keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And we can only run our race well by carrying our baton of faith and passing it along to others. Eyes on Jesus Christ, passing the baton of faith. On September 30th, 2014, Michael Phelps was arrested for driving under the influence, excessive speeding, and crossing double yellow lines. Shortly before this incident, there was a picture of him in a tabloid smoking marijuana. Michael Phelps, one of the most decorated Olympians in history, with a personal net worth now around $80 million, was hitting rock bottom. For about a week, he stayed in his room and was actually contemplating suicide. That's when a friend of his, the former Baltimore Ravens linebacker, Ray Lewis, visited Michael, had a talk with him about getting help, going to rehab, and trusting in Jesus Christ. Mr. Lewis gave him Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. This was the turning point for Michael as he entered rehab. He read the book while in rehab and then called Mr. Lewis and thanked him for saving his life. An ESPN interview had this quote. Phelps explained that the Christian book turned me into believing there is a power greater than myself and there is a purpose for me on this planet. Turned me into believing there is a power greater than myself and there's a purpose for me on this planet. It's only when we turn our eyes upon Jesus that we can run our race, treco our agony, with perseverance and endurance. And it's only as we hand off our baton of faith to others that we run well. Friends, we can only run with perseverance and endurance as we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. You see, the Christian message is this. As we run our race, as we treco our agony, with our eyes fixed upon Jesus Christ, we can finish the course, no matter what. No matter what. It's only in keeping our focus on Jesus that we can hear those words at the end of our race, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." It's not putting our eyes on the cloud of witnesses. It's not putting our eyes on the road ahead. It's not putting our eyes on the hardships or the obstacles. And it's not putting our eyes on ourselves, our works, our talents, or our abilities. No, it's only as we turn our eyes upon Jesus Christ that we are given His gaze of grace. We're given the tenacity to treco, the strength to stride through life. So how do we remember this? We remember this using the technique that Navy pilots use to survive night aircraft carrier landings. They keep their eye on the ball. There's a very bright red light precisely projected at the proper angle for them as they approach the ship in the dark. As long as they keep their eye on the ball in their scope, they are on a perfect glide slope to safely land on the aircraft carrier. Keeping your eye on the ball. How do you hit a baseball or softball? Keeping your eye on the ball. How do you stay with your tourist group in a tourist trap? Keep your eye on the lollipop. Okay, since most of you won't be doing night carrier landings or trying out for the local ball team, I have another way to help you remember this. Hold up your hand about a foot from your face and make a V with your fingers, like a peace sign. Now focus on your fingers so you see them clearly. How many do you see? Two, right? Okay, now move your fingers, or don't move your fingers, and look at this picture of Jesus. Now how many do you see? Three, right? You have another invisible finger that represents Jesus Christ. You see, when you turn your eyes upon Jesus, you realize that you never go alone. He's always running this race, this agony, with you. Jesus Christ will never leave you or forsake you. If you ever need to remind yourself, just hold up two fingers and look past them, preferably at a picture of Jesus. And lastly, when we find a way to hand our baton of faith to another, our team succeeds. We're now going to listen to a song, and while we do, think about those who you've passed your baton of faith to, and think about those who you could pass your baton of faith to. Maybe close your eyes or just keep looking at a picture of Jesus and meditate as you hear the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Dim in the light of his glory.